Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set again, as usual, for our Saturday afternoon show. And the weather in Chicago is delightful. And, of course, this is a great day in the sports world. The running of the Kentucky Derby. Boy, that's the race. You know, there are three great races, the Belmont, the Preakness, and the Kentucky Derby. But the Kentucky Derby is the big one. And that should really be something this afternoon, and they go off at around 4:30 Chicago time, and of course it'll be on television. Cubs are on the road, and the White Sox will be at home tonight. So a lot of things of interest today for any sports fan. Our guest today, and we'll be talking with him in just a moment, is an old friend of ours, Joe Meegan, who was the head of the Back of the Yards Council, an organization that for years and years has done a lot of good in Chicagoland. And we have many things to talk about, and he'll be with us in just about 1 minute. We're delighted to have an old friend as our guest here today at Northwest Federal, and that's Joe Meegan, the head of the Back of the Yards Council. He and I have been friends for a long, long time, for so many years, I hate to think about it. Anyway, it's a real pleasure to welcome him here today to Northwest Federal and to talk about their great organization, the Back of the Yards Council, that he is the head of, and all the good that they've done over the years. I'd like to go back to start with to the Bishop Scheel era. I know he was a close friend of yours. He was a close friend of mine, and everybody loved him.
Yes, Bob. Bishop Scheel was recognized as the Apostle of Youth. And I can remember when he first started the CYO back in 1929. And when he picked up young people that were out of work and were homeless, and many times he'd get them out of squad cars and bring them into homes that he established, homes for boys. And that's where the CYO homes for homeless boys started. And that was the beginning of the CYO, where he started the great athletic programs in boxing and in softball and in baseball and providing fine programs for young people. And that's where he started also the famous CYO summer schools in the parks in Chicago, where youngsters could come from 9 to 12 every day during the summer and once a week would enjoy the show, but enjoy all the privileges in the park district. They'd have handicraft and art craft and swimming and the like there, and of course they had great athletic programs for them. The Bishop is a great pioneer.
Somebody asked me the other day, and perhaps you know the answer, is Boys Town still operating?
Yes, Boys Town is still operating. It's, of course, it's been emulated all over the country. No matter where you go, you'll hear about organizations somewhat similar to it, like the Better Boys Foundation, and throughout the entire country and the like. But perhaps even more widespread is the CYO, which is now known all over the world. As you know, Bob, it's a truly great organization.
Is it true, the story that they tell and the story that's been in the movies, that Father Flanagan was, he started Boys Town?
Yes, he did. Father Flanagan started Boys Town. He would remind me very much of a priest by the name of Father Pat Maloney. He'd go out to buy everything. The only thing is he didn't have any money. And Bishop was like that, Bishop Scheel. All the money that he needed for CYO activities, he spent 3 months beforehand when he'd have these great dinners in which Herb Graffis and Arch Ward and fellows like yourself, you know, participated in. And, of course, they had Huey Mulligan and Jack Keeshan. They'd have a day at the track, and they'd be great ado about it. But the auditor would remind the bishop that whatever he got, he really owed a great number of bills for the past 3 months, and it wasn't quite sufficient.
Oh, those were really great days.
Yes, believe me, they were. And out of those days came some great people like Max Merrick and Johnny Pasek and Leo Rodak and the Canelli brothers and almost anybody that ever amounted to anything or another, sometime or another, belonged to the CYO. They also developed what they call the JYO, the Jewish Youth Organization. Uh-huh. And, of course, then all the different denominations like the Lutherans and the like there. And I remember, as a Catholic boy, we played with the Lutheran League whenever they were short of players, and they helped us out in the KC League and the Catholic Order of Foresters and the Park Leagues. They were really something else. And a lot of great people you know, came out of those eras.
I'm sure they did. What about the work of the Back of the Yards Council today? What are some of your main concerns?
I think that our main concern, I think it's a concern in every section of Chicago. Somewhere, someplace, we've gone wrong in this respect. Our problem is graffiti and vandalism. Somebody got the idea that they'd have to identify themselves in a particular section of the community by spraying paint on buildings or by using rollers with paint and identifying the name of a gang by putting their identification on churches or schools or parks or playground buildings or even on viaducts or even on homes in the community where people are defacing things. So we really have to get back to the fundamentals of bringing youngsters into the picture so that they can realize that things constructive, which like the formation of junior citizens in 7th grade classes and 8th grade classes, where they get out and do a real good job, and to begin once again the things that we used to do, like the essay contest, and we'd take and have children from maybe from 15, 20 schools participate and have the outstanding 7th and 8th grader, freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior compete in the contest and then bring them down to Springfield and identify them and bring them down to Washington and see how government works and to accentuate the positive and to find programs for them that were constructive and to get them and those that are out of work in CETA programs and the like there and to reestablish such things as they had years ago as the NYA, the National Youth Administration, for young people who are out of work and so that they could learn a trade and they could become very, very useful. And, of course, the graffiti problem is not, peculiar to any particular neighborhood. It's all over. And it's usually done through youngsters that perhaps that don't have the opportunities that other youngsters do. Maybe they're newcomers, and they're looking for some sort of identification, and that's why they do it. But outside of that, I think that's our most serious problem.
The Back of the Yards Council, what area does this take in?
Well, the Back of the Yards Council takes in the area from 31st, the Stevenson Expressway, to 55th, from Racine, which is 1200, to Western Avenue. And this is an area where we have, great respect for the savings institutions in our area. It's typical today in Back of the Yards to see the wonderful people that you have here. You'd see them in Back of the Yards, too. Senior citizens, young people, everybody coming to their savings institution. We have approximately 20 churches, we have 29 schools, we have 13 parks and playgrounds, we have places to work, places to play, we have a search in every single home in our neighborhood, we know the identity of every single homeowner, and we have wonderful cooperation from our public officials, particularly from people in public service, like our police superintendent, who has honored our 42nd annual meeting here just 2 weeks ago, and our commander, who was with me yesterday for 3 hours going through the neighborhood. Not only that, but from the businessmen, the industrial sector of the neighborhood, we recognize the part that business plays in the neighborhood and also industry plays. It's very, very important to get the cooperation of industry and to work with industry.
What you're saying is that the Back of the Yards Council is well organized.
Yes, the secret of organization is participation, like everybody. If there's a fire in a block in Back of the Yards, people who are delegates, and we do have delegates from 185 organizations. We have some of the people that have been with us ever since we started. We have people who have lived in the same home in Back of the Yards for all their lives. And as delegates and as citizens in Back of the Yards, we accentuate the positive. We tell them how important it is if they see something going on that like a fire, or if they hear of anybody that's afflicted where somebody's ill or something like that, or somebody's stricken, or they know something, maybe there's housing violations, maybe there's abandoned buildings, maybe there's garages, maybe there's holes in the streets or the sidewalks are defective or the like there, then they report it to the Back of the Yards Council. They are the Back of the Yards Council. It's the people, and the slogan is, we the people will work out our own destiny, and they do. It's a living thing. You can go Back of the Yards. And, Bob, you've been back there. You've been down there years ago, and we had the free fair at 47th and Damon. You remember that? Those are the great days. And every Every night.
You couldn't get me off those rides.
Yes, I'll never forget you and Robert Jr. We'd go on that double Ferris wheel. And I used to, but you used to be sort of white when you come down from that double Ferris. You were sort of pale. And especially after you came from Bianco's restaurant out there in the south side.
But what's happened to them?
Well, Bianco's restaurant made the mistake of going to another neighborhood. And of course, you know, you can't leave your roots and go to another neighborhood and become as well established as you are there. Henry Bianco, Lord of Mercy on him, passed away just a few weeks ago, but Henry Jr. hopefully will reestablish his place out there across from St. Rita's at 63rd and approximately California.
They had a great spot out there.
Yes, it was a great spot. And of course, we have great spots in back of the yards where you think that every meal is like the Last Supper. You know, like for instance, Serena's, Congressman Kluczynski out there where we had, you know, it's what we call CBS, you know, chicken, beef, and sausage and all that. We have all those wonderful meals. You remember the White Sox and the Cubs, how they came out there? And remember the fair where we had all the free tests for kids, like, for instance, polio and visual testing and audio testing. They get chest x-rays free. And then after they've been experienced all these tests and shots and everything else, then we give them free rides for the rest of the evening. And we used to have all those famous contests, too.
Let me ask you, why did that sort of thing stop?
Well, today it's rather difficult because there's so many transients that come into a neighborhood, and you have a problem there with security that you didn't have before. You understand? We had, if you recall, before it was a very highly organized affair that was conducted by the churches, the schools, the parks, the leaders in industry and business and the like there. And of course, it drew a great number of people. But when it got to be so big that we'd have more than 10,000 people a night, and it was a question of security. And so we had thought that we better discontinue it. Although no matter where we go, everybody talks about the free fair. And when would we have it again? It was a great event in back of the yards.
What do you recall? And I know that you were very close to him, a man that we all love, Bishop Scheel.
I recall about Bishop Scheel that when he had the CYO and he had this building down at Congress in Wabash, I can remember well his great concern for young people, about children especially. And he really was known as the Apostle of Youth. But he did something on a national basis. He went to President Roosevelt. In fact, he was invited all over the world to establish his youth programs there, to get kids involved in a constructive way. And that's how you got such programs as the National Youth Administration and the CCCs, where they gave youngsters a chance and where they provided fine programs, where they allowed them to work and to maintain a dignity of themselves and not to be dependent on others. And he always preached that the best way to prevent crime was to do something positive. And if kids wanted to fight, put them in a boxing ring. And I'll never forget in back of the yards when we got newcomers in the neighborhood like the Mexican kids, and the other kids thought that they were so much better until they found out that they couldn't beat them in a boxing ring. And then all of a sudden, they became part and parcel. And back of the yards, I want to say today, the time takes care of everybody, everything. You talk about integration and the like there, and I see all these fine people that are standing around, and they have families. And I came from an Irish family. I didn't know my wife was Polish until about 3 months afterwards we were married. But, you know, we have seven nationalities. Now, how did we get them? Boy meets girl. You know, picks up a girl, he brings them home, and they go out after a while, and then he announces he's going to marry her. And so today I've got a daughter-in-law born in Sweden, a son-in-law born in Holland, Italian, Lithuanian, Croatian, German, Polish, and that's the story back of the yards. I really mean it. And so when the grandchildren come, forget it. They could care less who they are. They're part and parcel. It's a family of people. And if most people would realize that and never think in terms of hostilities toward people, because you never know what's going to happen in your own family. It's really a wonderful occurrence, and there's no social pressure. People get along. They're not competing against each other. They have their own identification. They're beautiful.
We're talking about the Back of the Yards Council, and our guest today is the man who heads it up, Joe Meegan, an old friend, and we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today at Northwest Federal is Joe Meegan, the head of the Back of the Yards Council, an organization that does nothing but good, and they do a lot of it, and they've been doing it for a long, long time. You know, the history of your organization is really fascinating.
Well, it goes back a long time, and I can remember when we were getting 39 cents an hour in the stockyards, and that was no wages for anybody. And we got Bishop Shields to unite with John L. Lewis, and they went down to the Coliseum, and the bishop interpreted the encyclicals of our Holy Father that it was man's right and duty to obtain a living wage. And together with John L. Lewis, they mobilized the packing house workers, and from then on, we have had a living wage in back of the yards. We had such programs as the school lunch program. The school lunch program, we had surplus foods, and then when World War II started, that went off the market. We went down to Washington, and we met our mutual friend John McCormick down there, yeah, who later became Speaker of the House, and we saw 435 congressmen and 96 senators, and we got $50 million through the cooperation of Senator Brooks and Senator Lucas, and then came back, and in six legislative days in Springfield, we were able to get a bill through Senator Bidwill and Senator Richard J. Daley. And that started the school lunch program throughout the entire country. So the milk and the hot lunches that you see today in schools and the senior citizens that are enjoying, that's over $2 billion today, actually generated from back of the yards. And such programs as, for instance, like the fluoridation of water and also your health programs and the like there, many of them started in back of the yards because we recognized how important it was that that youngsters and people would have the benefit of good health throughout their entire life. But associated with that, we recognize that you had to have committees, working committees, committees of senior citizens. We have 13 senior citizens groups in back of the yards, and they're all very, very active. There's as many as 300 in each of them. We have a recreational committee with 29 school principals, 13 parks and playground supervisors meet together. We have committees there on juvenile welfare, young people, junior citizens in schools and the like there. And great mothers clubs, about 34 mothers clubs, our businessmen's association, our industrial organization there. And so everybody's important in our particular community. But you know, Bob, at this time, one of our great activities is to honor a man who has done so much in our neighborhood as far as our career schools. Every year, we have the eighth graders from 29 schools gathered together, and they hear about the opportunities that are available for them in future vocations, like in health, in way of nursing and the like there, secretarial for young ladies, law for young men, or in the field of trades, and also in public service and the like there. And one of the truly great men of our time that has come out to our schools and has created so much interest in youngsters seeking to better themselves is Ray Meyer. Ray Meyer, the fantastic coach of DePaul University. Ray Meyer, who is respected throughout the entire country for his devotion to youth, for his 38 years as a coach at DePaul, for his great contribution not only in basketball, but what he's doing throughout the entire country in talking to people so that they can emulate the things that he's doing. They can recognize the great opportunities in sport, physically, mentally, and later on financially, too.
You're honoring him with a dinner when?
This dinner is May 12th, Monday, May 12th at the Martinique Restaurant.
I wish I was not going to be in Arizona.
I wish so too, Bob, because I can recall you last year when we were at the Jack Brickhouse dinner, and you were the teacher of Jack Brickhouse. You brought Jack Brickhouse into Chicago when he first started with the White Sox.
I taught him the good things
he did. You certainly did. You bet your life you did. You certainly did.
Well, Jack is a big favorite of mine, and that was a great event that night.
That was a great event. You bet your life. The president of the National League came over, and the commissioner of baseball, and all dignitaries throughout the country. But Jack Brickhouse asked one person to speak that evening, and that was his mentor, Bob Elson, and I'll never forget that.
That was a nice, very, very nice affair. Well, this should be a great event for Ray Meyer.
Yes, it will be a great event because it's a cross-section. We're going to have the coaches from various universities, from Marquette, from Loyola, from, let's see now, we'll be having them from, Northwestern. Oh, yes, I should say. Yeah. Northwestern will be there. And Ed Krause of Notre Dame will be coming in for that. Ed Krause was identified with Ray when he was back as a player at Notre Dame. Previous to that time, you know, he went to St. Patrick's Academy here in Chicago. Yeah. So he's a Chicago product, and he became an All-American at Notre Dame, and an All-American following that as far as his coaching is concerned, the winningest coach in America.
Well, everybody's delighted to see Ray Meyer do so well because, like you say, he's really an outstanding man, just a wonderful gentleman.
Yes, he's one of God's great noble, and he's got a wonderful wife and wonderful family. Just think, two boys, you know, they're the coachy field. Here you find Joe is going to succeed his dad if and when. You understand that, DePaul?
I hope it's not for another 15 years.
You're right. I should say not. And then you have, of course, his other son, Tom, who's over at the Circle and is doing such a wonderful job. But what a wonderful family. But all the proteges of his are coming to this dinner. All the guys that were All-Americans and Hall of Famers and all of his team captains. I talked to one fellow that called me this morning at 7 o'clock in the morning and said, I'm coming. I just talked to George Mikan a few minutes before the broadcast, and we expected George to be able to come down. And many of the other greats there, the boys that have done so well, the team will be there. The coaches will be there. The men that were in athletics in DePaul, the DePaul Booster Club, and all of the great men that are now in law, in the courts, in business, and in industry, and the like there, and in the priesthood.
Mention a few of those people.
Well, here you have Judge Ward. For instance, he's the Supreme Court Justice. And
where did he get started with you people?
Yes, he was down at DePaul. He went to DePaul Law School. Seems as though that well, there's about over 87 lawyers. I mean, young men who are in law became judges in Chicago today. For instance, like Judge Comerford. And there's so many outstanding judges that I would hate to mention some of them without including all of them, because we go to court a couple of times a week on our building violation. And I wouldn't want the judge to say, hey, Joe, you forgot to mention my name.
Well, you mentioned a very nice man in Judge Comerford, who's really been a good friend of mine for a long time.
Yes, and he's the head of the circuit in municipal court, the chancery courts. He took John Boyle's place, who was a wonderful man.
You know, we can really be proud of our judicial system here.
You can be proud of our judicial system, because they do a fantastic job. I often hear people complain about the building courts and the like there. I only wish people could really go down and find out what really happens in cases where you have buildings that are eyesores and they're vandalized and the like there, to try and find out the owners, or when they pass away, and the time that it takes to get those buildings down, to get the situation resolved so that you can make it possible to get them down. But to go down there, if people in Chicago find that there's violations in buildings, what they should do is to report them to the building department. You'd be surprised when they go to court, and then go to court, and they're willing to have them testify. That's what's wrong. When people don't come and participate in their own neighborhoods, when there's something wrong, don't stand up and the like there. But they have an opportunity when they go to court. If there's problems about young people, they can go to the boys' court or the juvenile court and the like there. I'd say our judicial system and our leaders in public service are really outstanding today.
They certainly are. Joe, how much help do you have with the Back of the Yards Council?
Well, with the Back of the Yards Council, we have a staff that's, I have a little girl that started with me back in 1941. Her name is Helen Ryan DeNucci. And at that time, in 1941, she started at $18.75 a month for about 40 hours.
A month
for 40 hours. That's what they worked at. And I'd say this way, that she certainly makes over $18,750 a year at this particular time. We have a gal by the name of Theodora Barskis. Her husband was Pete Barskis, a great basketball player at DePaul University. A gal by the name of Ruth Zog, Laverne Tabach. We've got people there. Wanda has been in our office for a few years. She takes care of our juvenile welfare program. We've got a lady there by the name of Gladys, who does such a wonderful job with senior citizens in providing them with all the 44 benefits that they're eligible for. But then we've got our mothers' clubs, and I think they're fantastic. 34 mothers' clubs, the great participation of our senior citizens. And you can't keep up with these people. You hear about them going to Las Vegas. You hear about them going to Florida. You hear about them going up to the mound, up for religious retreats, and on the way back they stop at a brewery. It's really something else. It's fantastic.
Our guest today is an old friend, Joe Meegan, the head of the Back of the Yards Council. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today is Joe Meegan, the head of a great organization, the Back of the Yards Council. In closing, could you pick out one particular phase of the operation of the Back of the Yards Council that you've been associated with that you're the most proud of?
Well, one of the things we're greatest proud of is our conservation program. we like people to come in back of the yards. We don't put on a show for them. We just say, come and look and see what you see. Every house is remodeled in back of the yards. We have 13,500 of them. We put them all in the building department because what little it costs to fix up your homes is nothing in comparison to what it costs you to move. And you go out to Mortgage Manor or someplace. And why would you leave all the churches, the schools, the parks, the playgrounds, all the things that you have in a neighborhood that you were born and raised in? You're identified with your neighborhood, with your neighbors who are so warm and so friendly. And I think this is our greatest program.
In closing, tell me how the back of the yards area is bounded. By what street?
It's bounded by Racine on the west to Western Avenue, 31st on the north. That's the Stevenson out to Garfield Boulevard on the south.
How did it get its name?
Well, because we're back of the stockyards. We're just exactly back of the stockyards. And I wish they'd go out and see the stockyards today, the new stockyards and all the new industries that's out there. But it's a wonderful feeling to be able to walk down the street. And I always say this much in closing, Bob. Every day is better at 5 than it was at 9, and the next day is going to be better than that. And that's the way it's been for me. I've been with it for 42 years, blessed with a wonderful wife, family.
Yes, well, you certainly have done a wonderful job. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Bob, it's a real treasure, and I love these people that's standing around. They're our kind of people.
Thank you. Our guest today has been Joe Meegan, and the man who's responsible for the great work of the Back of the Yards Council. Remember, the Derby today, don't miss it, this afternoon, post time at 4:30. Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.